You know, I've always been taught or been told that in John, you don't see the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, it may not speak about his birth, but does talk about him coming. Amen. And so in John chapter 1, I want to read several verses. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which was born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." And in verse number 14, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the day. Thank you for loving us, and thank you for saving us, and thank you for allowing us the privilege, God, to be in the house of the Lord today. God, I pray you'll touch and work in our midst. We need you, God. And God, without you, we can do nothing. God, we need you to touch our hearts. I pray for that one that may be in the service that's lost, that you'll touch them and work in their heart, work in their life, God. We do pray. We pray, Father, for the Spirit of God to move in our hearts and move in our lives. We pray for your power to be here. We pray for your unction. We pray for your Spirit. God, will you take your workmen, and God, take your word and do your will in a special way this morning. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen. As we come to look at the very first thing we want to look at, the Bible says in verse number 10, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. We see the very first thing is they did not recognize Christ. They did not recognize him. We know as they did not recognize him at his birth. I mean, little Mary, this low esteem girl, this little Jewish maiden, she had no claim to fame. And then there's Joseph. Joseph was of the lineage of David. And we realize that he had to go back to Bethlehem. And if you would go back to Bethlehem, if they had something to say about their town, it would say the king of David was home place. And so they made their way back. But they wouldn't even have room for him in the inn. This world wasn't looking for a king. This world wasn't looking for a savior, just like today they're not. They're not. In that time, as we wanted to read the Christmas story, we know that there was a census made, and they was have to go back, and there was crowds of people, and the village was full, and there was no room for them to be able to stay. There was no place for them. And we find that's the hustle and bustle of this time of the season of the year, this holiday season, this day that you and I are living in, to them, it's just a time of hustle and bustle. It's a time where some families get together. They go through some traditions. They go through different things. But it should be, to you and I, it should be a time when we recognize the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we should be teaching our children about Christ. First of all, we see Christ is not recognized. There's three supreme truths told in this verse. Look with me. There's a fact about that Christ was in the world. Here's a fact in history that Christ lived. Amen. And Christ lived. Here's a fact in history that Christ was alive. If I can put it this way, it really happened. See, we got to realize what you and I believe is not some myth. It's not just some story. This is not a storybook. This is his book. This is a Bible, the Word of God. And we have a right. We have a right. There was really a Caesar Augustus. And we know that by history. And he really said that the man would be taxed, and they had to go back to where, and in that Jewish state, they had to go back to where they was where they was from to pay that tax. We know that's real. We know that they had a journey from Nazareth, and they had to take that long journey, difficult and dangerous journey. They probably went out to the Jordan and followed the Jordan River down, and then they came to Jericho and took a turn towards Bethlehem and entered that city. It was a dangerous trip, and especially for this lady, Mary, that was with child, great with child. You know what? It really happened. There was really a donkey carrying Mary. There was really a Joseph leading the donkey. It wasn't a fairy tale. It wasn't some story that we just tell our children. It's not Snow White, and it's not the Cinderella. This is true. This is truth. As we come upon it, Mary truly was pregnant. She was truly pregnant, never knowing a man. Oh, the world. What do you mean? No, she was conceived by the Holy Ghost. Mary was a virgin, never knew a man. You know, there's people that claims Christ but does not believe in the virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know the only problem with that is you can't be saved and not do that. So for you to be saved, you must believe that Jesus Christ is the perfect Savior. He is the Savior of the world. He was a sinless Lamb of God. He had no man. He did not have man's blood running through his veins. He was born of Mary, but was not the seed of the woman, but not the seed of man. The Holy Ghost came upon him, and he was conceived by the Holy Ghost of God. Hey, it really happened. It's really true. It really happened. Hey, the Bethlehem was just a really small village, no significance. And it was full. And the inn was full. And the innkeeper, we give him a hard time, but hey, he was just doing his job. There's no more room. At least he gave him something he had, a place out back, whether it was in a cave, in a cutout, or whether it was a little stable or what. He had something to give them. It was where the animals was at. Yeah. It was where they had to be fed, and they could get a little protection from the weather. And that's where Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world, the greatest gift that was ever given to mankind, was born. You say, it seems unbelievable. It seems like, preacher, Why wasn't he born in a castle? Why wasn't he born in, you know, why wasn't it a little bit better than that? Couldn't God do any better? Well, for some reason, and I don't know, we'll have to wait to heaven to ask. Some of you great scholars may have guessed. Y'all figured that out. I don't know why he did it that way. But I know this, he did. It's real. It's real. It really happened. In this Christmas season, in 1 week, was that preacher, was it on December the 25th? Probably not. But you know what? That's non-essential. What we're saying is born this day in the city of David. This day. I don't know what this day is, but I know there was a day in history that Jesus Christ was born. And so we're just going to pick out a day. Matter of fact, you know, we're gonna pick out the day, and we've picked out December 25th, whether you think it's pagan or whatever. And this world, and I'm talking about as a secular world, their songs have changed. Society has changed. Lights has been put up, different things. To recognize something that happened 2,000 years ago. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's real. And in 1 week, you and I are going to wake up. And if we don't watch it, there's going to be some little kids grabbing. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, Mom. It's Christmas. How many used to get up? We got up early for Christmas. Kids don't even do that as much as that no more. Wow, we've got so much. God's blessed us so much. You got to admit, but I mean, when I was a kid, you know, man, we woke Mom and Daddy up. We didn't know they'd been up all night putting stuff together, but we woke them up. Yeah. And because we was excited about getting something for Christmas. And we was excited about the, if we don't watch it, that excitement about the gift, that excitement about family coming together, that excitement about all getting together and the food and all the things that goes on Christmas. Over in a corner will be a little major scene in your house. Little partial, what do they call it? Partial. Partial. Okay. We're on TV, we're going to quit this stuff. And y'all get a pastor that knows all he's talking about. There'll be a little setting of a little scene like we've got right here. And all day long, if we don't watch it, Brother Derek, we'll go through that day. And we'll enjoy and have fun and be grateful for the gifts that we get. And for moms and dads, you'll be grateful for the gifts you're able to give to your children. But the real meaning of Christmas would never be mentioned. They ignored him. They rejected him. He said he came into the world, and the world knew him not. They didn't recognize him. And we, on the day of Christmas, if we don't watch it, we won't recognize the real reason that we're meeting, the real reason that we're celebrating. If we don't watch it, what we're doing is we're making memories to another generation. And when this generation comes on up, how much are they going to make them Christ on Christmas Day? How much are they going to make about Jesus? And we're all guilty, I've got to admit. We're all guilty of going through this day. And this day is going to be on Sunday. And wouldn't it be so sad, and I'm not trying to be mean, but wouldn't it be awful to say to your children, well, it's Christmas, we're not going to go to church. That don't sound right. I know it interferes with some of our traditions, and it interferes with some of the things that we might have done with our family. Some may get up and cook big breakfasts. That's what Deborah's family's done for years. That was unusual to me. We're opening presents. We open presents and then we ate. They eat breakfast. Run breakfast all the way to lunch. Then open presents. I'd hate to have been born in their home. When they was older, didn't do that when they was young. Okay, mama's setting things straight over here. But that's the way I knew it. But this Sunday, a week from today, we get to get up, do whatever we do for Christmas, get dressed, and come to the house of God, sing about the reason for Christmas, join in fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ that are celebrating Christmas. I mean, people that we're spiritually kin and spiritually family, we call brothers and sisters in Christ. I want to tell a little story me and Brother Hub ran into. We had a family that came from up north. They come down here and put their child in school. And I would walk up to them. I say this to when I walk up to the lady, hey, sister, how you doing? Y'all know I do that all the time. Well, she was taken back by that. She wasn't used to that. She was a Christian, she'd say. But they didn't do that at their church. They didn't do that. Not just because up north they just didn't do it. She said, I was kind of taken back by that. I thought, what's he mean by this? Well, they came here and for a while came to school and then they moved away. And just last year they moved back. And Brother Hub and I was talking to her. And she mentioned this to me and Brother Hub. She said, you know what, preacher? I said, I want to tell you something. Said, when you first come out and I first met you, you said, hello, sister, how you doing? She says, I didn't know how to take all that. And you was calling everybody brother and sister. And we come in here, this, you know, group with that and for the parent-teacher orientation. I'm talking about brothers and sisters and all. You know, she said, I didn't know how to take a But she said, when I came back this time and you walked up and said, hello, sister. She said, oh, that felt so good. Didn't she say that? She said, oh, that felt so good. Hey, we are family. We're brothers and sisters. And this Sunday, this year, 2016, we have the opportunity to recognize Jesus' birth at church. Because Jesus came to purchase the church. He came to save the lost, the sinners. But we know what sinners become. They become part of the church, birthed in the family of God. We get put into the family of God, but we're also a part of the church, the body of Christ, Jesus Christ being the head. But you know what? The Bible says he came. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world didn't recognize him. They knew him not. Wouldn't it be awful for you and I that claims the name of Christ not to recognize him this Christmas season? Yeah. I say this, and I believe it to be true. Unfortunately, many churches will be at half capacity. Half their attendance of their normal attendance will not be there Sunday. Many of them will be less than that. I don't know what ours be. Deborah may not come. For you that's visiting, Deborah's my wife. But I don't know how many will be here. But I want to be here on Christmas. I was telling them in Sunday school class, I don't remember Christmas falling on Sunday, but I know I had to when I was a kid. But I just don't remember much about it. But I want to recognize him. I mean, he came through. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad? It's so sad. There's another truth here, supreme truth. I got to hurry. There's another supreme truth here, and that is the world was made by him. I still believe in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Amen. Of course, this text is teaching us that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit are all one, the Trinity of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Trinity of God. But that Jesus Christ was God in the flesh. But the Bible says he was made by him. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. I still believe that God spoke this world into existence. I still believe he cast the stars out in the sky, told the sun to appear and shine. She began to burn. She's going to continue to burn. He turns her off. Yeah, amen. Amen. He'll turn her off. There's only no nuclear power, nuclear bomb to turn off. He'll turn it off. Yeah, amen. He'll turn her off. I still believe that. I still believe God pushed up the mountains. I still God pushed the waters out. I still believe God made this world. He made all the insects. If he could just squish that mosquito, we'd been okay. If you're living in South Georgia, you'd want him to get the gnats. Ain't that right, Brother Stringer? Amen. I'll tell you, but he and they're all here for purpose, and they all have a plan, and they've been designed by a creator. And God made man and breathed into the nostril man, and man became a living soul. And we're different from the animal kingdom. I said we're different from the animal kingdom. God made us different. We have an eternal soul that'll live forever. I don't want to get on this, but, you know, animals don't. And that little, I know that little pet that you love and everything, it may not be in heaven with you, but, and that's dangerous territory we're talking about now. That is. But I tell you, you're going to live for eternity in heaven or in hell. Eternal. And then there's a supreme tragedy of history. The Bible says the world knew him not. We see Christ was not recognized. Look at verse number 11 quickly. His Bible says he came to his own and his own received him not. We see Christ's rejection. You know, they should have recognized him. They should have known. Even the pagans. And the wise men came from pagan land. They knew there was going to be a birth of a king. The Jews that have heard the word of God and heard it time and time again and in the synagogue talked about that Messiah was to come. But they wouldn't recognize it. And then when they Why? When they was faced with it, and the scribes and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the religious crowd, when they seen those miracles, when that blind man, you know, I wonder what the world thinks about when, you know, the Thomas is singing that song here, I just asked the blind man, he seen it all. We was hearing that, we was listening to that when we was going down to Alabama yesterday to go down Dad's to, for our Christmas with the McCullys. And I looked at Deborah and I said, what do you mean a blind man seen it all? He's blind. And she just looked at me like, you are so crazy. God made the blind man to see. I don't know if y'all got it yet, but God made the blind man to see. That's why he could tell it all. He made the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. And they seen it. They seen the miracles. And yet they still rejected him to be the Messiah. They still rejected him. You know, I believe even this morning, the Spirit of God could be dealing with your heart. You're here and you're lost. And he could be knocking on your heart's door. And you can still reject him. It's not the first Christmas season you rejected him. It's not the first time you rejected him. I wonder what we would do with Jesus. There's left to each one of us a choice. What will you do with this Christ child? What will you do with him this morning? Will you do like the innkeeper, have no room for him? Will you do like the world? Will you push him to the outside? Will you do like the religious crowd? Would you do like many are doing today, lip service to him, but inside your heart you know him not? I trust it wouldn't be one that would be like a hypocrite, living one life here and another life there, out there. Because you know what? Jesus knows if he lives in your life. Me and Deborah's been married 27 years. That's right, honey. 27 years. And I'd been in trouble if I'd been wrong. And I say this a lot. I believe with all my heart she's saved, but I don't know. Now, y'all look at me kind of strange. I don't know. You know, there's one person around that manger scene that knew without a shadow of a doubt Jesus Christ was virgin born. That was the Son of God. The Bible says you ponder those things that they said in her heart. There's one that knew. That was Mary. Joseph took it by faith. The shepherds, they'd heard it from the angelic being. They had to have faith, but she knew. She knew. And you know what? I don't know whether she's saved or not. But I know I'm saved. I know. Amen. I know. I was there the day it happened. I know God moved in my heart. I know. Amen. I know this mic won't stand still, but I know. I know that God's living inside of me. There's been evidence, Brother Stranger, that he's living inside of me. Brother Kevin, there's evidence that I know. Not evidence the world can say, that I know. Yeah. More to know, you say. I know I've received him. I know he lives within me. I know that I'm birthed, born into the family of God. Everyone in this building should know. But the Bible says he came to his own, but his own received him not. They rejected him. What are you going to do with this Jesus this Christmas? Are you going to set him to the side again this Christmas? Are you not going to accept him again? I mean, by his grace and his mercy, and he has allowed you to see another Christmas. He's allowed you to see one more year of the manifestation that Jesus Christ is real. It really happened. Are you going to reject him again? Are you going to reject him again? Look at verse number 12. But as many as received him, them gave him powers to be the sons of God. We see Christ was not recognized. Christ was rejected. But we see Christ was received. When we say, I'm glad that I've received him. I'm glad that he lives within me. I'm glad that I know Jesus Christ as my personal Savior. Now, this one, verse number 13 said that this was, we were born not of blood. Your birth, you don't have a birthright into heaven. You say, preacher, you just don't know. My daddy pastored this church for so many years. My mother and our family, I mean, we're just all good. Everything about us is good. I mean, we're this high class, high society, high whatever. I mean, you know, there are a few people around think they ain't never sinned. I ain't heard many, but some of them think they're perfect. Yeah. But guess what? Your blood is tainted. Yes, it is. Wherefore, but one man sinned in the world, death by sin. So death passed upon all men. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. It's not by your birthright. It's not by where you was born, nor the will of the flesh. He said, preacher, I've been really working hard at it. I had a few years, you know, in my young years. It's pretty rough. I didn't live, but since then, and in my wild days behind me, I've settled in. I've started going to church and, you know, man, I'm faithful to my wife and my family, and we pay our bills. And I go to church. I'm even saying my prayers. I even read the Bible some. And that's wonderful. You make a good Baptist. But don't mean you're a candidate for heaven. Preacher, you don't understand it now. I mean, I'm really been good. I mean, I don't fuss at my wife no more. And, you know, I've got that anger issue took care of. And I've got it down pat. How's your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you ever been saved? Have you ever confessed that you was a sinner? And asked God to save you? Have you received him as your personal Savior? It's not by the flesh. It's not by the flesh. Nor of the will of man. It's not what we can do. But guess what it is of God? God's the one that birthed us. The Bible says he's not willing that any should perish, but all come to what? Repentance. That's a bad word in 2016. But guess what? You'll never get saved till you repent. You'll never get saved till you realize you're lost. Once you realize you're lost, then you realize you got a condition that needs to be taken care of. And then you'll find that there's a physician that wants to take care of it. His name's Jesus. There's a physician, his name's Jesus, and he wants to take care of that that's bothering you. You have a sin condition, you're lost and undone, and God wants to save you. This morning, will you receive the Lord Jesus Christ? But as many received them, boy, look at this blessing, become the sons of God. Hey, we've moved up in the world. God will make a nobody a somebody. Amen. You and I are now fit subjects. Matter of fact, the Bible says we're already seated in heavenly places. The Bible says he's wrote our name down in the Lamb Book of Life. In the Lamb's Book of Life, our name's been written down. We're as good as already being there. The Bible says he's gave us eternal salvation. He gave us everlasting life. We'll never die. We're going to live forever. The wages of sin is death. Amen? That was that spiritual death. But the gift of God is what? The Lord Jesus is eternal life. That's the gift of God. This morning, have you received him? I cannot tell you the date that I got saved. I cannot go back in time and tell you that it was on this Sunday. Many of you, and some of you wrote it down when you got saved, and that's wonderful. But, you know, you could be saved and not know the date. I remember the age I got saved. But, you know, you could be saved and not even remember the age. But you cannot be saved and not remember the place. If something, Brother Clifford, if something as big as God moves in you, you're going to know it. Amen. You're going to know that God lives within you. Brother Nix, you remember where it was, don't you?
Yes.
Tell me where it was at.
This is the camp in the tent meeting in Fairmount, Georgia. I could about carry you to the spot.
To the spot. I've heard Brother Samuel tell about it many times. Amen. And Brother Nick. I guess I can say it like this. Have you got a spot?
Yeah.
Amen. Now, for the sake of those that maybe has doubted their salvation like I did some and made another profession, and you may have, well, I don't know if it was at 12 or at 7. I can understand that some. Amen. This is the way it's worked in my life. I made another profession of faith when I was 12 years old at Faith in Scottsboro, Alabama. I still started, Brother Ware, I started doubting that date too. And I take the devil back to that date, and it just didn't seem like I got anything settled. Now, I finally take him back to that day that 7-year-old boy was on that Sunday morning at Rose Chapel Baptist Church, and it seemed like every time I get back that time, the devil would just leave. And you know what? I don't know how many times as a 13, 14, 15-year-old boy I'd done that, and I kept on taking him back there. And you know what I finally done, Brother Brent? Finally, I got tired of doing that, and you know when the devil comes to bother me? I said, devil, you know the road. You just take it yourself. I don't go back down that road anymore. Amen. I know that he redeemed me, saved me, cleansed me, washed me, changed me, claimed me on that day. Isn't it wonderful to have a day? In the city of David, I want to say, on this day is a Savior born. It talks about this day. This day. I'm glad I've got a day that I was born again. There's a day Jesus was born. May not be the 25th, but there's a day Jesus was born. And there'll be a day you know that you receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. There'll be a day that you know without a shadow of doubt that you got birthed in the family of God. Do you know that day? Have you received Him? Then on a final note, just if I could just kind of finish it up like this. You know, in society today, we may be worried about all the parties and all the celebration, all the gifts and all that, and all the confusion even that is brought up by all these different fables and stories that are told during Christmas time. Moms and dad, can I tell you the greatest thing you can do is just teach your children the truth. Just tell them the truth. When they get all excited about Christmas and they get up Christmas morn, and there's presents around the tree, it'd be a wonderful opportunity to tell them, I want to let y'all know, children, the reason you're getting these presents. Because there's a God in heaven that loved mankind so much that He was willing to give His only begotten Son. And on this morn, on this day, we celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior of the world. Let's bow our heads.
Our Father, Lord, we do want to come before You again this day. Father, we do want to thank You, Lord God, that I do have that place.
Amen.
Thankful I've got that spot, Lord. Lord, I can take somebody to the very place, Lord God, where You first dealt with my heart and showed me I was lost. I can take somebody to the place where I knelt down and asked You to come into my heart and You saved my soul. I want to thank You, dear God, for those times. I want to thank You, Lord, for all the many blessings, Lord, that You bestowed upon us. I want to bless You for the great service this morning. So many people go into a dead church, go into a dead service, don't even realize what they're doing or missing out on. But, Lord, I'm glad that we can come to a place where Your Spirit is welcome and wanted and where You can move and where You can work. Oh, Lord, we won't take that for granted. So I pray God should meet with us again, Lord, tonight. Bless, Lord, in the service. What a great, great program it was last night, Lord. What a great move of the Lord through the service. Pray God that You'd show up again tonight. Pray, Father, that some lost soul will come to know you as their Savior tonight, where they'll have that place, where they'll have that spot in their life, and know that thou art God. So I pray, Father, in the name of Jesus, in thy precious name, and amen.